Today's message, I want to talk about choosing your battles. Choosing your battles. Not every battle is yours to fight. Not every battle is yours to fight. But sometimes we get into a mode or an attitude where we feel like we got to go out there and fight every single battle, and we're not careful about it, and we're not choosing it. We just go and do it. I remember when I was a kid, when I was a small, you know, kind of a young boy, this was my attitude too. There was nobody too big. It didn't matter who they were. If they offended me, or I even suspected that they offended me, there was a fight. And I would just go for it. And it didn't matter if it was an adult or a kid. You know, I was crazy. And, you know, I didn't know how to choose my battles. It just didn't matter. And then one day, you know, I chose this battle. There was these five guys, and the ringleader was the biggest one, and him and I got into it one day, and he broke my glasses. I'd had my glasses 4 days, and, you know, I stopped fighting because I'd never fought with glasses before, and once they got broken, I didn't know what to do. I stopped to pick up all the pieces, and so the fight was over, and that might have been a good thing, because what if I had beaten the first guy? What about the other four guys? You know, who knows how it could have escalated and got worse. So luckily the fight was over the minute I stopped to pick up my glasses. Now, I don't know what changed my attitude that day. It might have been seeing my mother crying because she didn't know if our family could afford a new pair of glasses every 4 days. Or if it was the fact that, you know, I now wore glasses and I realized I cannot be getting into a fight every day. But something changed, and from that day forward, I began to choose my battles. And really, I avoided battles a lot of times. And I made sure, you know, I could usually laugh my way out of them, talk my way out of them, smile my way out of them. And as a result of that, after that day, you know, there were no real fights like that like there had been before. I think it's important for us. And when I talk about battles, I'm not just talking about physical fights or wars. I'm not just talking. Sometimes your battle is maybe with your bills. Sometimes your battle is with your sickness. Sometimes your battle is with your kids. You know, so I'm not talking about, you know, going to war. Some of you are thinking, they're going, this message is completely irrelevant to me. Whatever the challenges in your life, whatever the obstacle that is that you are facing, that's your battle. And sometimes it's not yours to fight. Once you've done everything that you need to do, then it's time now to trust in God and let God do it. There are things that God can do supernaturally that you can't do. We work things in the physical, but there are things that God does in the supernatural that are beyond our power or our abilities. And that's why we want the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, because now He can work through us to do supernatural things. So if you're trying to achieve everything or overcome every single problem with your knowledge and your skills and your strength, you're forgetting the most important part about why we receive Jesus into our heart and why we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. It's to use supernatural power so that we can go beyond, so that we can do more than we ever thought we could do, because there is a power that dwells in us that's greater than anything in the world. Amen. And that's what we got to remember. So sometimes when we come up against obstacles and, you know, we begin to try to fight them with our own strength, we're not choosing our battles wisely. I want to recount this story from 2 Chronicles for you. And this is in Judea, and the king is Jehoshaphat, and he had this problem. Here all these armies of Syria come against him. It was a lot of kings and armies came against them. The people of Moab and Ammon and the Ammonites and everybody on the other side of the, what does it say, from beyond the sea, from Syria. So all these armies came against them. Now, Jehoshaphat was worried about this. These were powerful kings, powerful armies, and they were all marching on him. So what he did is he told the people, let's pray, let's fast. And they began to seek a word from God. we need to get a word from God about what we're going to do about this, because this is a great multitude of soldiers coming our way. And they got a word from God. Here's what they received. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judea, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's."
Praise God.
How many times have you been in a situation where you feel like your back is against the wall, that the stress or the pressure is too high, and that you don't know, you are outnumbered, it feels like everybody is against you? This is what Jehoshaphat and his people were feeling like, and they asked for a word from the Lord, and he said, "The battle is not yours, but God's." We got to remember, we got a supernatural God inside of us,
amen.
People.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
And then it doesn't matter if we're outnumbered. We have to remember the most important thing. Sometimes the battle is not yours. It's God's to fight. I don't know how many times Eliza and I have been in situations where, you know, there was somebody that was, you know, working on something against us, and we were trying to figure out what to do, and we talked to God, and God said, "It's not your battle."
Yeah.
It's not your battle. And we were in our heads, scratching our heads, going, "What do you mean it's not our battle? They're trying to attack us. Of course it's our battle." But it's not. It's for God to fight. Listen to what else was said here. So they say, "Tomorrow, go down against them, and they will surely come up to the ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. You will not need to fight in this battle. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." There were things for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I said, once you've done everything you need to do, there are things for you to do. So don't sit back and get the idea, "Oh, well, God's going to fight this battle for me." You still stuff you got to do. They had to get up. Jehoshaphat and his people had to get up and go out there.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're told what to do. Stand still. How many times is it when we get into a situation where we feel like we're under attack or the pressure's getting on, the last thing we do is stand still, we start to run in circles and go faster?
Yeah.
How many times is it we start looking at every little thing, what do I need to do? I've got to do something. Something's got to be done. Instead, God is saying, stand still. It's not your battle. It's God is going to fight for you. Can God fight for you if you're busy running around? If you're busy trying to make everything happen and do it all with your own strength and your own power, you're not trusting in God. Sometimes you do what you need to do. And that's the important point. Do what you need to do. That doesn't mean don't do nothing.
Right.
Do what God is instructing you to do. Here he tells them, go down there. Okay, so once they got this message, they started worshiping the Lord. They started praising him and thanking him. They just gave out, you know, all this praise. They fell down on their knees and they thanked God for this great message that he gave them. The next day, they got all ready to go out. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judea, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper."
Amen.
Jehoshaphat the king is reminding them, what's the most important thing? Have faith in God.
Amen.
Believe. Believe. And if you believe this, you'll be established. If you believe this, you will prosper. They got to have a strong faith or a strong belief. If you're just going to go out there and stand still in the midst of a battle, you better have a strong faith. Because
yeah.
A typical person is going to be, "Something's coming. I got to do something." And God is saying, stand still. So here he's reminding them, believe, have a strong faith. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. What was the first thing they did? They didn't pick out the biggest soldiers. They didn't pick out the most skilled warriors. They didn't say, okay, where's our best archers and snipers and sharpshooters? Let's put them over here. Best swordsmen, put them up there. They picked out the people who were going to praise God.
Amen.
This is something we've been talking about for a few weeks now. The first thing he does here is he picks out the people that are going to be singing, the praise team, all the musicians. And where's he put them? Right at the front.
Yeah, amen.
The front of this whole thing, the people that are praising and singing and, you know, saying great, how great God is, they're the people that go first.
Into battle.
Now, in the physical, you're thinking, that doesn't make any sense. But that's exactly what you need in the midst of your battle. That's exactly what you need in the midst of your challenge. You need to put forth first the praising. Start to praise God. Begin to say how great he is. Don't get running around and trying to do all this other stuff, trying to make it work. Remember, God is fighting for you. When we give the glory to God, you get the promotion.
Amen.
He's saying when you give the glory to God, you prosper. When you give the glory to God, you're established.
Uh-huh.
You're bona fide when you give the glory to God. So the first thing they did was praise God. So he appoints those who are going to praise the Lord for his mercy. And so as they went out in the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thing happens. So now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And who had come against Judea? These are the armies that had come against them. They were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When God fights your battles, interesting things can happen. Here, first, they turned on one group. Now, remember, these guys were all working together. They turned on one and utterly destroyed them. And then they turned on each other and destroyed them. And there was not one that made it out. So when Judea came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. Not one had escaped. Not one had escaped. This is what happens. Excuse me. This is what happens when we let God fight our battles.
Yeah.
He has a way to go into the midst, to the very root of the problem. He has a way to get right in there and mix it up. He has a way to come up with a solution. All these armies, a great multitude, had come out against the people of Judea. And yet when they praised him, soon as they prayed, it says, when they began to praise him, the Lord set these ambushes against them. That's when they began to turn on each other, the army that had come against them. That's when the problem began to get broke down. It doesn't matter what situation you're facing. When you begin to praise God, That's when he goes in there and begins to work away at the root of that problem. It doesn't matter what the problem is, if it's a problem with your children or a problem with your job or a problem with your relationship. It doesn't matter. He's going to get in there and begin to work at the roots. And you just got to stand there and believe, have faith. Just like the people with Josaphat were doing here. They're believing that he's got this. So there they came, and everybody, there was not a single one that was left. Now, so they began to, let me read this part. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies. Remember, when you give God the praise, you get the promotion. Yeah. Here, they gave God the praise, he won the battle. They get the spoils. They get the riches. They get to prosper. They get to, you know, receive more abundance in their life. And there was such an abundance of valuables on these bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much increase in your life. Supernatural increase. Remember, these guys did not go out looking for a fight. They were at home.
Right.
These people came against them. But what was meant for evil, God turned to good. Mm-hmm. Not only did he destroy this army, he also increased the wealth and the riches of every single person in Judea. This works for you in your life too. When you're up against that problem, whatever it is, if you choose your battle wisely and understand that not every fight is yours, and let God go out to fight your battle, and you give him the praise, he gives you the glory.
Amen.
Meaning he defeats that problem in your life, he gets in there and he works at the root of it, and he breaks it down and he changes it in a supernatural and amazing way, and then he allows you to get a promotion. He lifts you to a greater level. So you didn't have to get down and dirty and go out there and do that. You allow the supernatural power of God to go to work, and it lifts you up to a greater height.
Amen.
These guys spent 3 days gathering all of the jewelry and gold and precious things that these guys had brought to them. Basically, they just brought them out to them. Here you go. And they increased amazingly. And on the fourth day, they blessed the Lord. They gave the praise again to God. So they came to Jerusalem. This is when they came back. They came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. Again, they're praising God for this incredible victory that he has given them. This is not the first time or the only time that God fought a battle for somebody in the scripture. We have many incidences where God went out and was doing the work. All they needed to do was what God told them to do. They had their part they needed to do, and then they had to allow God to do his part. I'm remembering the story of Paul. Remember Paul the apostle going out there and spreading the good news, and one time he was arrested and thrown into jail because he healed somebody in the name of Jesus, and they didn't like that. They threatened him, but he wasn't scared of that, so they threw him into jail. Well, in jail, there he sits. He starts to praise God. He starts to sing songs about how great God is, how wonderful God is. And in the midst of his singing, an earthquake happens, and the whole walls of the jail or the doors of the jail are all broken open. He is set free because of his praising of God. He let God do the battle. He let God fight it for him. He just had to praise God. Here he is, locked up in a jail, chained up in there. Looks like there's no hope. He could have started running around, trying to find somebody with a file, you know, to try to file his way out of his chains. Could have started trying to make some deals, bribe some guards, get out of there. What am I going to do? Got to make something happen, right? Never going to get out of here if I don't do it myself. Got to make it happen. That's what we learn in the world, isn't it? Got to make it happen. Shake and roll. Let's be cool. Make something happen. Here he sits down, begins to praise God in the midst of the prison. I'm sure the other prisoners thought, this guy is a nut. singing and saying how great God is, and he's just been locked up. He's never getting out of here. And just like that, God opens the doors to the prison, and Paul can walk right on out. That's what happens when we let God fight the battle. Mm-hmm. Remember the story of Jericho? This big walled city. Huge wall around it. No way to get in there. There's no way that physically that the people, Joshua and the people, could have got in there. But they listened to what God told them. He said, march around the wall. There was something for them to do. March. He told them, be quiet. So they couldn't say anything. They just marched around the wall. And on the seventh day, when they marched around the wall, he said, okay, give a big shout. They give a shout of praise. The wall tumbled down. Who broke down that wall?
God.
God tore down that wall. If they had made it their battle and gone in, they could have had that city under siege for months, years. They could have tried to get through that wall that was so fortified, so strong that it was impossible for them to do. But instead, they let God fight the battle. That's how they got the victory over Jericho. That's how the wall came down. And that's how the walls come down in your life. That's how you get the victory in your life, by praising God, doing what you need to do, but let God fight the battle. There's a story, you might have heard this story. Maybe you heard it recently. About this guy, Paul Crouch. He was the founder of TBN. He founded this Christian network, and he was probably the first person to do that. There were no, like today, there's lots of networks to choose from that are Christian networks, but he was the first one that started this. He was told by God to found this, and when he went and he bought this first station, he realized he couldn't get a signal out. And he had all these experts and all these specialists come in, and everybody try, and nobody could get a signal out. They were in Santa Ana, and they couldn't figure out why it wasn't working. Why was this station not working? And then he went and talked to some experts, and they told him, nobody's ever gotten a signal out of Santa Ana. You can't get it past those mountains. You can't get a signal out. They've tried for years. It ain't going to happen. Mm-hmm. They were distraught. Him and his wife had put everything they had into this station. God told them, start a station, a Christian station. And that's what they were doing. They mortgaged their house and put any money they had in it. If they couldn't get a signal out, they were going to lose their license for broadcasting. They had to get a signal by a certain day. And the date was quickly approaching. His wife was upset and she was crying. She said, well, we made a mistake. Oh, we really messed up. Didn't know what to do. And one day, he decided, he climbed up the ladder and went up to the top of this building where this antenna was, and he put his hand on it. And he said, he started remembering, God, you said that if I tell the mountain to move, it'll move. He said, well, I'm talking to this mountain, I'm telling it to move. And he felt the Holy Spirit come upon him. He felt something changed. Then there was a peace in his heart. He knew everything was going to be okay. He went back downstairs and he told the people, he said, tomorrow, let's meet at 8 o'clock. We're going to try one more time to get this signal out. This is do or die. Everything's on the line. Next day, 8 o'clock, they come in. Technicians working on the stuff. And the signal comes through. We know he let God fight the battle for him. He had already done everything that he needed to do. He had technicians come in. He had bought the station. He had had them try to talk to the experts. He had done everything that he needed to do. God told him to buy a station. And now it wasn't working. And at that point, it's no longer his fight. He had to pray and put it into God's hands. Supernatural. People had tried for years to get a signal out of that station, and it never, ever happened. Nobody got any signal out of there. And now he got a signal, and it was clear as any great network signal. And they knew it was the power and the miracle of God. Amen. And he let God fight for him. You got to remember to choose your battles, and there's times when it's not your fight, it's God's fight. Amen. Let's remember that. Because in your life, there are many fights that are not your fights. They're God's fight. And that's why you've got the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. To let Him fight the battle. When God came and walked on the earth, that was one of the main reasons. He came to walk on the earth to fight your battles.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He came to fight things that you couldn't fight. Like sickness. Mm-hmm. Like sin. Mm-hmm. Like the hells. Like poverty. He came and fought that. Jesus, as he walked on, when they put him on the cross and he died, he went to hell. And he went to hell, he went there to fight that battle. A battle that you could not fight on your own. A battle that you could not win. But God could win that battle. In the midst of the hells, he rose up and stood up and won the victory. Victory is assured.
Yes.
Because God walked on the earth and won the battle for us already. Mm-hmm. We got to have faith and believe, much like Jehoshaphat and the people were believing. They had to believe that it was assured to them, that they would be established, that they'd be bona fide. As long as they believed that, it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is true for us. Jesus already fought our battle against sickness, against sin, against disease, against poverty, against co-workers, whatever your problem is. He already fought that battle and won it. Victory is assured. I like what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sakes. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul is saying here, he knows that when there's nothing that he can do, when the odds are against him, when he knows that he cannot beat this or cannot fight this, he knows that's the time to call upon God in Jesus' name. And that's the time that he will be made strong. When he is weak, that's when he's strong, because that's when the power of God begins to work in his life, to break down the obstacles and to win the battles.
Amen.
We got to choose our battles carefully. Don't get yourself running around and involved in things that are God's battles. Remember, stand still. Do what he needs you to do and let him do the rest.
Amen.
And that's when we give glory to God and praise God, and he can lift us up to a greater height. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Find grace in times of need. Grace, unmerited favor. There are times when we are challenged and we need something more than our physical skills, our knowledge. Doesn't matter how much knowledge you have or how much strength you have, you need something more. And that's God's grace. The grace of God, his favor in your life. And then when that comes in, it will defeat whatever your problem is. It will transform whatever your problem is. In John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branch. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. When we start to run around when there's a problem and try to do everything on our own power, he's not with us. And we can do nothing. That's the time to start to listen for God. Find out what does he need us to do. And remember, it's now time for him to fight. It's time for him to go to battle on that problem, whatever it is. Let the supernatural begin to work through you. You already have the Spirit of God inside of you. Let it work through you. It doesn't happen through your own skills. It happens in an amazing way. What did Jehoshaphat do to defeat that army? He stood still. He praised God. He believed. He had faith. You didn't go out there and kill one of them. They were defeated by God. every single one of them was defeated by God. And he praised God and got the increase. Here, listen to this one. This is 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
When we have faith, when we believe God, then we can receive that grace, which is unmerited favor, the power to overcome all things in our life. Say amen to this.
Amen.
I hope you're getting excited, because I got one more for you. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
So in the midst of these problems, in the midst of your battles, don't be like me, the little boy who wanted to fight everybody, because you're going to lose quite a few. Choose your battles wisely. And know that there are times where you reach a point where you've done everything you can do, or that you needed to do. And it's time to trust in the Lord now. Allow his supernatural strength to come in and work in your life. Allow his greatness. That is why he wants to dwell inside of us. His spirit dwells in us.
Amen.
So that we can use supernatural power to overcome our problems. If we're still using our own physical ingenuity, intelligence, and strength, then we haven't received anything from him. But if we can use the Spirit that dwells in us to overcome the problems of this world, we are assured victory.
Amen.
We are assured victory in all things.
Amen.
Because Jesus already won it.
Amen.
Amen.
Choose your battles wisely.
Amen.
And know that as you go out into the world this week, and whatever problems that have been facing you, call on the Lord God. Praise him. When did Jehoshaphat receive it? As soon as he started to praise, that's when God began to work on the enemy.
Amen.
And when you begin to praise God, that's when he begins to work on the problem. He will break it down, get into the root, and it will not stand in your way. Nothing can stand in the way of God. All things are possible with him. And he has strengthened you to be victorious in all ways.